Blog Talk Radio.
Wadu Tamarans, greetings, Hotep, Nubian kings and queens. How are you this evening? We're glad that you could join us in the Care to Read Room. Once again, we'd like to welcome our old friends and say Habaragani, and we'd like to greet our new friends by saying welcome, welcome. Come in and have a seat and join us as we feature on another segment of Care to Read. This has been underwritten by Project 2019. We are a family and consumer room, and we feature African-centered programs focusing on the literacy of print and writing. Our segment for this month has been To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. Now, we're entering into our writer's workshop, this particular segment. We are featuring our own playwrights, our own short stories. So if you have something that you would like to feature, we are asking you to come in and join us and be a part of reading your playwright. We welcome you, as a matter of fact. And I will be featuring a segment from my book, which is going on to be a playwright. It is now a manuscript book, and it's entitled The Testimony of the Real Sister Soldier. We'll be giving you a segment from the audio talking book. You'll get a chance to hear the first segment before it ever hits the market. and we would like your input. So why don't you come in and join us and be a part of this segment? Ladies and gentlemen, we'd just like to welcome you for being a part of a reading group and also for being a part of a writing group. Now, most of us teachers know that you cannot teach reading without teaching writing. Now, we're going to open up our chat room for those of you who are out there that would like to chat with us. However, we would like for you to come in and chat personally and not have to just send your typewritten messages, even though I'm glad you're able to put your request in print. We're going to open the chat room now. The chat room now is officially open, so you can join us in the chat room with your questions and statement. And we would like for you to lock those numbers in at 646. We'd like for you to lock in those chat room numbers at 646-478-0270. Please lock those that number in, and you can call in at your leisure. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be going to station identification. If you got your dancing shoes on, why don't you come on and kick it up with us a minute, and we'll give you that chance to stretch a little bit. Then we'll get right into our ritual, and that ritual, as you know, is our libation, and still water runs deep. Stay tuned. Here in the Care to Read room. Welcome again, once again, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, ladies and gentlemen. And we're looking at promoting Nina Simone's slogan, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. Now, what was her meaning of being young, gifted, and black is for the African-American youth to understand that you are gifted when you have youth in front of you. You have to understand that it's very important to utilize your right to the platform to speak and to write. Ladies and gentlemen, we are featuring To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, and we're at the Writers' Workshop. Our conference this week will be open to the public and to teachers and other prospective social workers. That global national workshop conference is open to the public online. You can go in and sign up for a workshop. I urge you to do that, to sign up for writing workshop. We're going to be there under the Luxor Institute for Family Education. We're featuring family life education. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome you once again and say that you are in the Care to Read room. Now, I hope you had a chance to whip it up, get your dance on, get your groove on, or whatever you had to do, and get that out of the way. And remember, we're headed on over to the Talking Cure area where we greet our ancestors and lift them and acknowledge them. Why don't you go over there with us, standing with your feet erect and your hands out as if you're ready to receive. We are going to dedicate this to our higher self, and that is Akamare. Akamare has a manifestation of three godheads, and we know them as Olorun, Ilede, and Oladulamare. And we know that Ori is on our head. That's how come God can never leave us, because Ori sits on our head. He's our third eye. Why don't you waken Ori today? Why don't you stir him up? It's your higher self. Let's talk to our higher selves, because when we pray and send out the behavior modification, we're praying to our very selves to ask us to do that is that thing which we agreed to do. And we're helping ourselves, so we're talking to our higher self today. So come on, talking heads. Let's talk to the little G with the big head full of wisdom. Now, I do have a new clothing line. It's called Spiritual Lifeline, and that is a little G with the big head full of wisdom, so that the real gods can come forward. These clothes are only meant and intended for gods who know that they have waken up and become gods. And if you're not in that category, you have no business wearing this line of clothing. This line of clothing is going to be spiritually intact. So the line of clothing will give you the unction to be an orator, to speak out, to function as a little godhead. And I didn't say the big G with the big head. I said the little G with the big head, full of wisdom. And that is what our African teaching teaches us, that we are God, little children, that we've overcome them. Let us give homage to Oladulamare, who is an expression of the manifestation of God, and we pour libations to. We say, I say. We pour libation and a glass of water to my mother spirit, and my mother spirit is Yamanja. I say greetings, Yamanja. I humbly pour libations to my father's spirit, and my Obatala, my father's spirit is Obatala. And to my earthly spiritual mother and father, Clara Jenkins and Robert Jenkins, we pour libations to their acknowledgement. We say Ashe. I pour libations to the West, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the North, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the East, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the South, and I say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, this is done for the purpose of creating energy on the earth and your environment and your home. That energy frequency is nothing but a vibration or prayer. Every vibration you send out through prayer or spoken word is a vibration. It carries with it energy. And the energy we put on this earth, may that energy frequency carry on to the second heaven. And that is the purpose of a prayer. It's nothing more than a behavior modification. So whatever forms or words you can formulate, it doesn't have to be a fictitious prayer that you created that is so elegantly spoken. It has to be spoken from the heart. And my request today is that every household present here and represented will have their third eye open, and their energy frequencies will be lifted, and their children, even in the loins yet, who have not come down through the birth canal, are still vibrating, and their frequencies will come alert, and they will be able to ignite their ninth ether in the curl and the kink of their very hair so they can reconnect back to their higher self, that they will always stay connected. And we ask those ancestors who have gone astray and who have left us in this living land to reconnect with us through the coils of their hair, even in their ninth ether, that they could reconnect so that we can share in the use of their melanin and that we can replace the absence of their presence here on this earth, where we could tap into their melanin and we can higher our frequency level. You ought to want your frequency levels higher, ladies and gentlemen. As you vibrate and stay energetic, you'll stay healthier, you'll live longer, and you'll have long life on this earth. And we are responsible for the dead. It is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. And we do this as an effort to reconnect with the dead so that the dead can always have a voice and be reconnected. And we understand that we're not afraid of the dead. We understand that death is a part of the life cycle and that we go on from the youth to the young, gifted, and black, to being elders and then going on to ancestorship. It is a process of life, and we must complete that process, the circle. If you do not complete that complete process of the circle where you go on to eldership and ancestorship, you have missed the cycle. Then you might have to come back here to repeat what you didn't learn in the afterworld. You might have to come back here in a lower form. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure we learn every lesson so that we won't have to come back in a lower form. And ladies and gentlemen, I bless your households down to the thousand generation. And I say, may your children's children be blessed for loving God down to the thousand generation. And for those children who cannot find it in their heart to love God and who have made up their mind that they're coming against God, against the being that loved them so much, may they be cursed down to the thousand generation. And ladies and gentlemen, I offer you curses and blessings before you. It is up to you to choose. And tell your children they have choices too. They can choose life. With long life have I satisfied you, or they can choose death. Today we choose life. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to invite you to come into a segment of a short story play that has been written by none other than me, Omiinka 7. This is a part of my actual journey across the waters. It's a part of my diary of a soldier, my also testimony of the real sister soldier. I like to bring you right in to the segment where it's pre-recorded on Books on Tape. Please join and listen, and we will be back to respond to you shortly. And may the Mother Earth herself open up our minds and give us discernment for speaking and prophesying and calling things that be not as though they were. As we go into this journey of designing a tool, a manual for our black women to use in developing and sharpening their skills. If you're not soldiers now and you aspire to be a soldier, one of the main objectives of this book is to develop soldiers and to sharpen your skills and develop your skills. We're not fighting ourselves anymore. We're fighting the real enemy. We're not confused, and we're not letting people drive us insane anymore. We're operating with our full faculties now. And women, as you go in to unfold the pages of this book, I implore you to read with urgency. As I speak with urgency, every one of these chapters will be written in urgency, that you may grab hold and get immediate take-home knowledge to apply to your life as you begin to fight through the battles and wars that you're going through. The wars of racism, prejudice, sexism, ageism. And you begin to denounce these sickness and illness in your life. But then cry out in one great voice, together as we stand shoulder to shoulder, and calling for all the moaning women who can cry and pray and get a prayer through to the king, who have the ability to pray. These are tools of warfare. We don't want women who are not sharpened in the word of God, because our spiritual warfare is not carnal through the pulling down of strongholds. We will be using spiritual and scripture warfare. So get prayed up, women. Get into your Bibles and open and read and remember scriptures that can be used, because if you have power, you must know the word of God. And those who do not have power do
don't know the word of God. I am not specifying a denomination. I am not calling Pentecostals. I am not calling Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not calling Baptists. I'm not calling Muslims. I'm not calling Buddhists. I'm calling God's women. There is no denomination. I'm calling interdenomination. Leave your denomination at home, women. We are coming to fight a battle that knows no rank and order and denomination. On this line, we are all leveled at the cross. There is no little I's and big T's and no colonels. We're all soldiers. And we fight and shed the same blood. And each one of us will bleed the same way. There's no more perpetuating slavery in this army. There's no caste system and no rank. So don't come with the idea that you're going to pull rank on a soldier. Because I'm a real soldier. I know what it takes to make soldiers. Because I've had the greatest mentors to mentor me into a soldier. My first experience as a child was with soldier building. And I have continued to have soldiers in my life to develop me. And I'm now overseas in the midst of soldiers in the United States Army. And it's no accident that I am here. I was called in the middle of the night. The very cries of the women's voices summons me here. They have a mighty warrior, a mighty warrior, that's void of all fear. I am a soldier, the real sister soldier. Come and go with me to the scene of war to really understand what war is all about.
Behind enemy lines.
the oust. Once we were on the front pages as the new great white hope. Now we have no one to stand in our defense. Our men are all locked away, and we have to take this army because we have been built to be soldiers. We know what it is to labor in war, but God said one day we will study war no more. But I have prepared for this occasion. I am ready. All the mentors and people in my life have prepared me for this very day. I knew the very cries of the people summoned me here. Why, they have a mighty warrior, a mighty warrior. And I am void of fear. I have the whole host of heaven on my side. They are more with me than against me. They can no longer reprise us black women by taking our jobs away, by demoting us and moving us, cursing us, and abusing us. We are taking up our own cross today, and we're fighting our own wars today. So move aside and let us stand out front. And when we raise our hand, God will atone this nation for the sins that were enslaved upon the black race. All of you, Europe, will have to lay down your arms. God will denounce you, and he will bring you to your knees. We find ourselves over here on our knees in the middle of the war in Germany, where all the soldiers were brought, but they don't fight the black woman's war. There are no soldiers to fight for the black women. We have to create our own black soldiers who are women. We can take up our warfare because our warfare is not carnal, by the pulling down of strongholds. We are overcomers. We will take this war and we will win. Why do I find myself in the middle of wars all the time? Once I thought it was through coincidence, but I know it's my destiny now that I am to be a deliverer, a Moses, and to stand on the front line and to walk courageous, not fearing any man, because God is in me. The Mewtwo is with me, and he will fight this battle for me and vindicate my adversary. Vindicate my adversary, Lord. Vindicate me today. I'm your soldier, the real sister soldier.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is just a segment from the talking book on the testimony of the real sister soldier. That book will be coming out on display for public sales by the end of this year. It is an audio book, and it is going to print. And it is also a self-help teaching mechanism for women that are civilians in the United States Army. It is a tool that was created to help those women who are abroad and that were going through litigation. And we will be bringing you other segments from the Lily Pad. This is also from the Lily Pad and the collection of books on tape. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to also open up the lines now for discussion, to talk to the women, the was working with the Writers' Workshop. So for those of you women who are writers and who have written from your experience, I certainly invite you to continue to publish. Don't just write and take your diaries and put them away and hide them away in corners. I've been carrying my diary around for many, many years and had to stop and take the diary apart and began to start to elaborate and write the perspective of creating a manuscript. Now, what you just heard was from a perspective of partially part of my diary, but that's a real experience that occurred while abroad, where there were a large women, group of women who were actually going through litigation and who needed a voice to speak out as a class agent. So as a class agent, I decided to write from the perspective of the issues that pertain to the women. The five women that were involved all had class action cases, as I was the class agent over the cases. Most of these women that had gone through litigation that were soldiers in the Army also had issues. So I invite you, ladies, if you have issues that you need to tell your story, then you need to write about it. May it be through poetry or through short stories or playwright. You need to write about it as a cleansing mechanism for healing your very self. Now, I also like to say that writing can be a tool for also developing your skills and sharpening your skills. But for me, I found that it was a tool, a mechanism to speak out against injustice. We can use our platform to speak as an orator, but we must also use the written word, the logos, as an opportunity to fight against oppression. Most women don't understand that their oppression that they felt, it can go untreated, and if not treated properly, can become internalizing, damaging to yourself. So it's very important that you get your information out on paper and out in written form to talk about it, to address it, because it's a cleansing mechanism for yourself. Most of us don't know that we're wounded when we go through something like this. We don't know that we're in need of some type of antidote or some type of counseling service. You can do the self-help talking cure, where you work with yourself and your family to begin to address those hidden problems, because if they are not addressed, they will manifest themselves into other unknown behavior problems. And I know this for a fact, because unresolved issues for long periods of time turns into depression and can also turn into physical conditions such as strokes or heart attacks. But we don't want to be victims. We want to make sure that we're not victimized either. Sometimes the system can hold us hostage when we become victimized. And I was held hostage for many, many years, afraid to print this information or to tell this story. But I had to make it up in my mind that the fear was not in me anymore, and that I was no longer afraid to talk about what went on with the United States Army and why they found it necessary to let a group of white women become sole providers of perpetuating racism, and why they didn't stand in the gap to protect a group of African-American women who needed to be protected, who served their country well. We were like the 54. We carried the Child Development Department. We developed it so well that the colonels gave us accolades and outstanding job well done, and we literally maintain our families in the communities through a family life education system, when we should have been commemorated and given plaques and a ticker tape parade and admonished about our outstanding work. Instead, a whole department was brought in over us to relieve us of our positions and to take over our spots and to steal the glory from us. And yet a lot of us feel that we should be commemorated now, even though this thing has gone on unaddressed. We should still be commemorated, and things should, now that the dust has settled, people should be able to go back and look over those situations and see that it was wrong. Because truly, when a department fares well and does well, those people who were instrumental in keeping that department abreast and supporting it should be acknowledged, and they should also be given acknowledgement. However, we still went on to have to fight to have our department investigated for racism, to have our department investigated for impartiality, and to make a long story short, they were found in despair. They were found in noncompliance. And at the same time, the majority of the women who waded the water for those 5 years and waiting were so perplexed that they could no longer wait any longer, so they dropped off the cases. But at the same time, the class action case was written and it made history. And for the first time, the department was looked into for discrimination. There was discrimination found. And the good thing that we can rally on is that most women who are going through right now should begin to put their complaints in and should begin to fight and stand up, even without attorneys, because some attorneys won't take your cases. But you can go pro se, and you can fight the causes of other women to make a difference. And that audio tape was played for the benefit of women who need to cleanse their soul, who need to address their issues through writing. This is the writer's workshop. This is the common place to start writing, and this is the place where I tell you to take out your pen and pad and start jotting down those things that are inadequacy in your life, on the workforce, overseas, where have you. But it's very important that you support your sisters who are going through, who don't have a voice. You can give the voiceless a voice by using your time to elaborate on issues that need to be addressed in your community, in your churches. Racism goes on everywhere, not only just in your workplace. It also goes on in the churches. It also goes on in the institution that serves you, such as the social services. You must understand that through writing, it gives you an opportunity to tell your story. As you notice, when we talked about Harriet Tubman, she was a non-writer. She wasn't able to advocate for herself to write about her stories, but there were other people looking up on her life situation, and they wrote about it. However, we have learned people now who are articulating well and able to write well, and they're able to put together and string sentences along to tell their story. I urge you to be a writer. And because this week we are focusing in on conferencing, we're inviting all those teachers who have journals, anecdotal notes, who need to write about situations or need to talk about being an advocate for other people who don't write. Now is the time to do that, ladies and gentlemen. For you teachers out there, you're obligated to use your skill to show someone else how to basically start writing in their journals or to keep a diary. It's very important to document things through anecdotal notes, and it's very important to recall dates and times. So it's very important that you understand that this writer's workshop is for those who would like to go into playwrights, who would like to take their story to another level, to be able to come out and find readers to read their story. My whole intention is to bring about a cast that will be able to read the story and that we can look back on it as history, and we made history. Because that whole case went down in history. We filed the first congressional hearing through Senator Feingold. And in filing that congressional hearing, that made history, noted in the records that five women brought out the issues that there was discrimination and that the Senator Feingold found it necessary to put issues on the fact that you cannot withhold orders for someone to return home. When you find that young people have gone abroad and they're given their lives and committed themselves to the United States Army, and then they use regulations against those people for returning home, sometimes regulation has to be altered and overwritten for the benefit of the whole. When people go abroad and give their life to the United States Army, it is a very touching situation. Those soldiers that are coming home will have tons of stories to tell. I would imagine that there will be books written and stories written about the situations that they have gone through and that are currently going through and that are still seeking JAG for assistance in their litigation. This happens, ladies and gentlemen. Things don't always turn out like they should when you go abroad, when you're with the United States Army. It might not all be the United States Army's fault. It also could be because of other people infiltrating racism within their camp. We have to stamp out racism. We have to make sure that people are given credit for what they do and someone doesn't steal the thunder or the glory from them. But in the military, there's so many people up to want to be on the front line and give them adoration, but they will try to steal the glory. And sometimes they'll try to do it unbeknownst to the colonels and the lieutenants. But those lieutenants and colonels' jobs are to step up to make sure that things are done in proper order and that no one does not go outside the chain of command to do things that are inappropriate to others. But when that happens, it's time to raise a standard up. And that's what OMI is doing in this room, lifting up a standard for the benefit of those women, soldiers, and civilian women who have gone through something abroad. And this story will be the main point of pointing out how and why standards need to be lifted up. And when someone commits their life to go abroad to give 100%, then they should be given 100% back. I thank you so much for listening to this particular segment, and I urge you to follow up on other new segments that we'll be giving you short preludes of. This is just a short prelude from the from one of the short story segments that I have entitled The Lily Pad. And that is stories that have been collectively written. And what you've heard over the past week are short stories that I put together on behalf of my family and issues that I have had in my life. And I urge you to write from your own perspective. Be a self-help organization like I am. That way, when you write with an intention to cure, to aid, to support. And it won't be just pure fun and game. Now, some of you women have other things to write about. Some of you women have things that you want to tell your children about, or you want to just write privately to your family. It's okay, but the main thing is that you start writing. And during this writer's workshop, we want you to spend time coming in, reading some other stories, some other people's writing, or your own, or come in and talk about the ballot and the various different narratives and how to start writing in your journal, what to put in your journal, how to start writing a blog, and what steps you should take. It's very important that you just write. And, I mean, start those children to scribbling early, because scribbling is the first stage of writing. And we understand that workshops help us to break down the process. They help us to show you what steps to take first. And that's the purpose of a workshop. Don't overlook the fact that this National Globals workshop is available online. When you Google National Global Workshop for Educators, you come up with the workshops. You'll have a listing of all the workshops that you can attend for free right online. This is the first of its kind online. I think it's been online before. I'm not really certain, but it's one of the first of its kind that I've been a part of, and I'm happy and honored to be a part of that organization. We are a non-for-profit organization. Project 2019 has underwritten the Care to Read Room, and Project 2019 is an African-centered organization that focuses in on closing the gap of disparity of African-Americans completing their higher education and making sure that African-Americans become literate and have information to process to better themselves academically. So by the year of 2019, we would have closed the gap and increasing the number of literate African-American people. And it's very important that we focus in on African-American people, because if we don't start addressing helping ourselves first, we can't help anyone else until we help ourselves. We must first go into the parlor and clean our own selves up and prepare our own selves before we can reach back and extend help to any other group. And its only first preservation is to know thyself and to assist and help thyself. Once we're able to pull our own selves up, then we can reach back and pull someone else by the bootstrap. And ladies and gentlemen, this African-American Senate Room has been created so that you can become more conscious about your own customs and traditions and know that you not only have a heritage, you have a culture, a rich culture. And most corporations and other companies have monopolized off of your customs and tradition. Now it's time that you know your own customs and tradition. It's time that you understand that what you've been given on certain circumstances are regurgitated, recirculated information that came from your customs and tradition. So now you need to know your customs and tradition so you can admonish them, so that you can acknowledge them, like this Thanksgiving. Most of the Africans are aware of the fact that the pilgrims created a holiday where there was much war and sieging in on the Native Americans. We don't want to worship that anymore, acknowledge that, because a lot of Native Americans died on account of colonization and Christopher Columbus. So we are now acknowledging we no longer want to celebrate a Thanksgiving of killing of Native Americans, but what we want to do is look at emoja, look at the first fruit of us giving something back to Mother Earth, giving something back to the community, recreating our own, where we can acknowledge that we're happy that God has spared us, not because the pilgrims have forced us into becoming Christians and killing and abusing people. There was a lot of killing that happened during that particular colonization and pilgrimage that we do not want to align ourselves with anymore. We're educated now. We're more informed, so we can understand that Christopher Columbus did not discover the United States of America. Christopher Columbus and the Pilgrims were pillaging and killing, and we can acknowledge that now because the truth is out. And most of the Caucasians already knew about it, and they're writing about it. So why are the black African Americans so short and lost? Did they the Jedi come late, loose, and they don't know anything about it until later on? We must be readers. We must be informed. We must be researchers so that we learn these things, so that this 24th of Thanksgiving, you're no longer giving thanks to the Thanksgiving at the table where all the pilgrims sit, but you're giving thanks for coming into consciousness, understanding the awareness of all of the abuse that went on against the Native Americans.